This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Oklahoma Baptist, we're here with Dr. Paul Chitwood, the president of the International Mission Board, a good friend of mine and a friend of Southern Baptist. And Oklahoma Baptist are grateful for your time, Dr. Chitwood.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for you, Hans, the leadership you give to Oklahoma Baptist, leadership that you've given to the IMB in the past as a board member and a chairman of the board. Thankful for your personal friendship. And listen, across the great SBC landscape, there aren't any rivals to the commitment of Oklahoma Baptist to supporting the work among the nations and sending out your own to the nations, and we praise the Lord for you.
Well, thank you for that. You got such an important job, and I want to make sure Oklahoma Baptists know you. How does a guy get to be president of the International Mission Board? That's such a heavy responsibility. Talk to us just a little bit about where you came from, how you got saved, and how God prepared you for this most important role. Tell us something about your family, too.
Yeah, thank you for that. Well, I tell you, the only way I got to be president of the International Mission Board was God doing it, because there's not a more unlikely person in the world. Going back really to my story as a kid, raised in a coal mining town and along the Tennessee-Kentucky border in the mountains. Our mother left when I was two. I had a brother who was four, a brother who was one. So dad was climbing telephone poles and living in a rented house with three little boys under five, trying to take care of him on his own. Thankfully, his father was a disabled coal miner. His mother worked in a shirt factory, just poor mountain folk, had moved out of the mountains into some government projects there in a little town. And he moved back in with them. And so they helped him manage us there for a while, and he got his feet back under him and able to move into another rented house. And it was in that rented house at 210 Province Street when I was 4 or 5 years old that a couple of deacons from the Baptist church in town were out knocking on doors one night, inviting people to come to church. And they made it up to our house, knocked on the door, invited dad to come to church, and he took them up on it. And we went that Sunday, and that then became the pattern of our lives. And heard the gospel there, had a church family that it really helped raise us and helped put us together, back together from our broken state. I was saved and baptized in that church, later ordained to ministry, felt a call to ministry when I was 18, licensed there to preach. My wife and I were married there when I was, I guess, a first-year seminary student. And out of seminary, well, during seminary, began pastoring. And out of seminary, pastored 18 years and taught some at the seminary as well during those years. Then was called to be executive director of the Kentucky Baptist Convention out of the pastorate. And I served in that role as sort of counterpart to what you're doing there in Oklahoma. Hanson was there for about 7.5 years when in November of 18, I became president of the IMB. Now, I did have, while I had not served overseas, I did have a lot of partnership opportunities with the IMB. I had let our church be involved, our state convention be involved. I'd also been a trustee like you, Hans, on the board and chaired the board for a couple of years. So all of that background, again, look back over all of that. And while I can see God's preparation in it, there's no one, I don't think, who would have walked up to that door at 210 Province Street, inviting that single dad to come to church, who would have suspected there's an IMB president playing in there in the floor. So that's the kindness of the Lord.
That's a great testimony. And I love, you know, it all starts in a local church, doesn't it? What we do with our convention ministries and our camps and universities and collegiate ministries, all very important. But, most all the testimonies are primarily about a local church and the impact of a pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher on a family. And I love that about your testimony. Paul, I want us to talk mainly about the long-term big picture of the International Mission Board and our missionary mandate. But we are having this conversation in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. I know Oklahoma Baptist would be interested in hearing how COVID-19 is impacting our missionaries, how you see it impacting the world outside of the United States. Could you talk to us about that a little bit?
Yeah, as is true here in the U.S., Hans, the impact around the world on our personnel who serve in more than 100 countries, it varies in degree depending on where people are serving, the conditions that they're under. We have a lot of people out. I mean, in fact, if you count the adults and the children, there's just over 6,500 Southern Baptist missionaries and kids who are around the world. And so they're able to be there because of the generosity of Oklahoma Baptist, giving through the cooperative program, Lottie Moon Christmas offering, generosity of Southern Baptist. And that generosity is allowing us to take care of them even during this global pandemic and allowing them to continue to do their work. Now, that work is impacted, as is the work of local church in Oklahoma. It's impacted based upon the conditions on the ground. And so what does that look like today? Some of our missionaries are still able to move rather freely and able to be involved in a lot of projects and feeding projects and ministry. In other places, they're literally under martial law and allowed to leave their house or apartment one time per week to go get whatever food or goods that they need and bring back. And you literally cannot open your door except for that one time a week when you have permission to go out. And so that greatly restricts the movement. But even in those situations, hearing a lot of good testimonies from our missionaries about how they're creatively staying in contact with new believers that they were discipling in person, now doing that on the phone or on the internet with church planters. They're trying to encourage and a lot of online evangelism that's taking place. And so the creativity has really stepped up, as well as the openness. You know, death has drawn near during this pandemic. There's an awareness of how fragile life is, and that's resulting in many, many more opportunities to share the gospel, to answer questions, a greater openness to the gospel, and we're hearing great stories along those lines as well. In places where we do have more freedom to move, what we're seeing, particularly because we serve in a lot of the impoverished communities of the world, we're seeing a great food crisis that's unfolding. When, you know, for example, a family in Southeast Asia that leaves home every morning and hopes to find a meal for the day is told, you cannot leave home, you're locked down for the next 60 days. You know, they don't have a freezer, they don't have a pantry, they go every day to get a meal. And so that's an immediate crisis for them and their family. And because generosity of Southern Baptists and our missionaries who are on the ground today, there are feeding programs, COVID response feeding programs taking place in almost 400 communities in nearly 40 countries of the world right now. And so, again, the love of Southern Baptist being shown and in those practical meeting of needs, the gospel being shared is something that's been incredibly encouraging. Southern Baptists have had their missionaries on the field for 175 years without interruption, and they're still there today.
Yeah. That's exciting to hear about those feeding programs. And I know our people have been praying for those missionaries. We know it's always tough to live abroad, but then you throw something like this in it, it gets even more complicated. If you just zoom out from this present circumstance, and you've been in this role now for a little over a year and a half, update us big picture. What do you see God doing in the world, and how's He using IMB? Maybe some key opportunities, key challenges. What do we as Oklahoma Baptists need to know about this global mission work?
I think a couple of key opportunities and challenges for us that I'd want to highlight, and because these are really in the very forefront of our strategy moving forward, particularly over the next 5 years. We've set some targets over the next 5 years that we're shooting at, and a couple of them really apply to what I'm about to share with you. But one is the urbanization of the world and how we have to have a strategy to reach the cities. So as we know, more than half the world's population is now in the urban centers of the world. But by the end of this century, we're told that as much as 80% or more of the population will be in the urban centers of the world. So if we want to reach a loss among even those today who are unengaged, then knowing that they're coming to the cities, there's an opportunity for us. But a strategy to reach the cities is crucial. And so we've designated 75 of these global mega cities around the world that we're targeting to create a specific strategy for reaching those cities over the next 5 years. So in the gathering of peoples, we're seeing an opportunity that we're really, and a challenge, because the city's a tough nut to crack. And so that's a big emphasis for us right now. The other big emphasis for us right now is what we call the globalization of the missionary task. We look back at 175 years of International Mission Board work, Southern Baptist work around the world, and one of the lasting fruit of that work has been Baptist conventions and unions that have been created around the world. So today there are 140 Baptist conventions and unions around the world that we can see in existence that have grown up from where Southern Baptist missionaries have gone in and evangelized and discipled new believers, and then they formed church and churches and planted churches. Those churches have come together, just like Oklahoma Baptists have come together to form their convention, to do more work together than they could do apart. So there's 140 of those around the world. And while we know there aren't enough, nor will there be enough missionaries, Southern Baptist missionaries, to finish the task, in working in partnership with other Baptists and Great Commission Christians around the world, we know that the task can be finished, that the Revelation 7-9 vision of that great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages around the throne, that it will be fulfilled. And the best way we can fulfill, do our part in fulfilling that, is using 175 years of sending, missionary sending experience to walk alongside of national believers in other places and help them send their own missionaries and bring many of those missionaries on our own IMB teams. So again, that's a great opportunity. Unique challenges in that, but it's a commentary on the great investment that Southern Baptists have made over the years, that we now have the opportunity to work with so many Great Commission Christians and particularly other Baptists around the world.
Yeah, that's exciting. Tell me about any Oklahoma missionaries that come to mind. We love our own here in Oklahoma, and have you had opportunity to meet or work with any personnel in the field that you can talk about that are from Oklahoma?
Yeah, you know, we've had the opportunity to meet and work with a lot of Oklahoma Baptists on the field, because Oklahoma has sent and continues to send a lot of Baptists. And I know one of the challenges that you've set before the Convention of Churches there is to send more. And we love that, because we are still, even in the midst of this pandemic, we have the opportunity to send more missionaries. And we've been working on beefing up our pipeline and getting more out. And so Michelle and I had the opportunity to travel and be alongside of, work alongside of our missionaries. Particularly, it was a couple of unique trips that we had to South America, where we were in Colombia, as well as to Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and we had time in Uganda. And we've also been at some large meetings in other parts of the world where literally hundreds and hundreds of our missionaries and missionary families have gathered together. And we've met so many from Oklahoma, and really they're exemplars of what Southern Baptists think of when they think of their missionaries. And we see them out in the refugee settlements and refugee camps helping build housing, helping feed, sharing the gospel, discipling new believers. We see them. There was a particular work in Uganda out among the islands on Lake Victoria, the very impoverished place there, and just such faithfulness and serving and sacrificing. Some very hard places that they're serving, and Oklahoma Baptists can be proud of their missionaries.
Well, that's good to hear, and we pray for them, and we want to send more. You know, back at our convention, we set out an ambitious goal to send 20% more. And earlier this year, you and Dr. Floyd declared as a part of Vision 2025 that we want to increase the number of fully supported missionaries by 500 over the next 5 or 6 years. How are we doing right now with that missionary pipeline? Numbers of applications to be missionaries? Do we've got enough in the pipeline? What's the status of our effort to send more?
Yeah, well, we don't have enough, but we have a lot more than we had. So when I came into the role in November of 2018, I think there were 82 candidates in that long-term sending pipeline, the career missionary pipeline. And it takes 300 new candidates in that who actually get appointed and go to the field every year just to maintain our current headcount around the world. And that's because, you know, missionaries are completing their terms of service and coming home, retiring, coming home, what have you. So you have to constantly, you know, resupply the troops, if you will. And 82 just, you know, that has reducing in our numbers because we didn't have enough people in the pipeline. From last week's figures, we've seen over 400% increase in the missionaries in a long-term pipeline. If you add the midterm pipeline, which is a shorter commitment of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, depending on, you know, what the assignment is, that we have now over 1,000 candidates in the missionary pipeline. So we've seen tremendous growth in that pipeline, particularly over the last 6 to 8 months. And as you've helped issue the call, other peers of yours and pastors and Ronnie Floyd's done a great job standing alongside of us in that, just issuing the call and calling out the call. We've seen a tremendous response. We need more. And so we're continuing to ring that bell, but we're seeing things turn in the right direction, and we are grateful.
You know, Dr. Chitwood, we did some survey work of our Oklahoma missionaries, basically trying to get to the issue of where do missionaries come from? What are the aspects of that missionary pipeline? And we as a state convention wanted to make sure we were spending our money on things that produced missionaries. And we were very pleased to hear many of our missionaries mention the Baptist Collegiate Ministries that we have. We're very pleased to hear how often False Creek is mentioned and Oklahoma Baptist University. And we were assuming that those had real impact on the numbers that we're sending to the field, but we saw that verified in the survey. But by far, the dominant factor is that local church factor. They talk about a pastor or a youth minister or a GA or RA leader or a deacon or somebody that opened their eyes to the fields and helped them answer God's missionary call. And I know you've been a pastor, and now you're the president of IMB. What in your mind are some keys to of a pastor building a missionary church, a pastor building a church from which God can call people out to the nations?
Yeah, what a great question, and what an important issue. And even, you know, as you've said, Hans, even those who have answered the call to missions, who talk about Falls Creek or the collegiate ministry or what have you, can't remove the local church from the impact there, because a lot of times that missionary call may have been responded to at Falls Creek, but the seeds were planted, the Spirit was at work in a person's life as they sat in the pew and heard the word preached, as they sat in Sunday school class and heard the word taught. Falls Creek and collegiate ministry are all ministry extensions of the local church. Without the local church supporting those and creating those don't happen.
Right.
So it all goes back to the local church, as you've so well stated. And I just want to amen that.
Yeah.
And what's it look like in a local church to be effective and really the steward? And this is the way I see it. As a pastor for 18 years, you know, I knew that I had a stewardship role there. It wasn't my church, and these weren't my people. This is the bride of Christ, and I am his under-shepherd, called to shepherd the flock. And particularly as I know that the Lord has left the church here for the purpose of getting the gospel to the nations, that placed responsibility upon me. And the way I found that I best stewarded that responsibility was by setting the call in front of the congregation, calling out the call, setting God's heart for the nations in front of the congregation, and never wavering, and in every opportunity I had, as the text revealed it, point to the lost among the nations, called the Great Commission call to the church, the Acts 1:8 responsibility of every believer, and just constantly coming back to that when we think about why even that we're here on earth. I mean, why didn't the Lord save us and take us to heaven? Heaven's better than earth, right? But he's left us here because there are many more who he wants to reach. And want to see that Revelation 7:9 vision fulfilled, where there'll be someone from every nation, every tribe and language. So in the preaching of the word and calling out the call, but also the involvement of the church in missions, where you're telling the missionary and the mission story, illustrating that through your sermon and challenging people to even be a part in volunteer trips for the church to be focused on a strategy. And this goes back to that Acts 1:8 obligation that rests with every believer in every church. Yes, we've been called to reach our Jerusalem, but we've also been called to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so to be his witnesses overseas and around the world, we can do that by extending our witness through a missionary. But as we have opportunity to go and serve alongside of our missionaries, so many missionaries, they're on the field today. The Lord finalized that call in their life when they were on a volunteer mission trip. And so for churches to include opportunities like that in the ministry, it is huge. Setting the nations before the church during prayer times and seasons of prayer is also an important mission. We think about some churches still very involved in traditional missions educations program, but where it's traditional or non-traditional, we can't fail to set missions in front of the next generation coming up if we're going to be faithful to preach and teach the word and to be the church the Lord's called us to be.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The one of the distinctives of the Southern Baptist Convention's International Mission Board and the way we send and support our missions is fully funded missionaries, and the cooperative program makes that happen. Talk to us a little bit about how our church is supporting the missionary mandate by their giving through the cooperative program impacts the nature of our missionary service on the field, as opposed to the missionaries that's funded some other way.
Yeah, well, that's a huge topic with so many opportunities to point to and celebrate what God is doing through Oklahoma Baptists and other Southern Baptists. And by the way, I'm aware and have been many years aware of the fact that Oklahoma Baptists are the most sacrificial supporters of the cooperative program in comparison to any other Baptists across the Southern Baptist Convention. And what I mean by that is Oklahoma Baptists give a higher percentage of their undesignated receipts in the offering plate through the cooperative program than any other state convention of churches. So thank God for Oklahoma Baptists. What does this look like for the missionary who serves with the IMB? Well, it creates a system not just an IMB, it creates a cooperative missions system that gets missionaries to the field. For example, there's educational opportunities and preparation opportunities through seminaries and Bible colleges and even liberal arts Baptist schools, like you have many examples of there in your state, where missionary can't get the education preparation they need before they go to the field. And depending on what assignment they'll have, some of that education is required of a candidate. And so it creates a state convention that's strengthening churches and helping churches work together. So there's so many ways that you build an ecosystem that the IMB depends upon and the missionaries depend upon in order for us to do what we do as an organization. But it also gives, that's such a huge, you know, we have two major streams of revenue at the IMB. And that's the Quadra program and Lighting Moon Christmas offering. You take either one of those away, and the IMB really can't continue to function. We're dependent on both of those streams of revenue. And talking about the Quadra program right now, what this support allows the missionaries to do is to do their work without constantly coming home to ask for more support, or worrying about the interruptions, or we're going to have to go home permanently because we don't have the support. The missionary is free to do his or her work or their work as a family, knowing that the bills are going to be paid. They have the benefits they need, the housing they need, the medical care that they need, the transportation they need. All of that is provided for by the generosity of Oklahoma Baptist and Southern Baptist through the cooperative program. And that's allowed, as I referenced earlier, that's allowed us to not have people coming back and forth from the field, but for 175 years to have people on the field. That's allowed us to have the largest missionary sending organization of its kind in the history of Christianity. That's allowed us to make an impact around the world that we could have never made if Southern Baptists in the pew, Southern Baptist churches weren't so committed to working together and to pooling their funds together through the cooperative program. So we are incredibly grateful.
Yeah, that's outstanding. You know, Oklahoma Baptist this year in the 2020 budget year shifted an additional 3% of our cooperative program giving as a state toward the Southern Baptist Convention, which and most of that goes to this worldwide missionary effort, and we're so excited about being able to do that.
That's right. Yeah. Over half of what goes to the SBC makes it to the directly to the IMB.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge transition of funds and sacrifice. And it's not like Oklahoma doesn't need it. It's not like there aren't needs right there in your state. But it's a great commission worldview where we understand that while we have been called to reach our state, we've also been called to reach the nations. And we've got to hold all of that in balance and in stewardship.
That's right. Dr. Chitwood, we've used up enough of your time, but I do want to ask you one last question. I know you spend a lot of time praying for our missionaries on the field. You're very aware of their needs. Give us some insight into how to pray for our missionaries. What are some key prayer points or things that we should have in mind as we lift them up?
Yeah, and pray for their effectiveness and the opportunity to share the gospel. They've left country and kin and gone where they've gone for one desire, and that is to see the lost saved. And so just pray that the Lord would give them fruit in their labors. Pray the Lord would keep them healthy so they can go about the work and be fruitful in their work. Because as we know, many of the places they live are incredibly difficult physically. They're dark spiritually. And so for the missionary to be emotionally healthy, physically healthy, spiritually healthy, that's going to help their effectiveness and help them have joy in their work. So those things during this unique season, this where the COVID pandemic is impacting all of us. Obviously, as we think about those missionaries who are sequestered to a 900 square foot apartment. Yeah. For weeks and weeks on end, and literally can't go outside except once a week. Just I pray the Lord would sustain them. And that the Lord, again, as they're all working hard to be creative and carry on work, even in light of the restrictions, just pray the Lord would give them insight and direction and opportunity again to see how they can be effective in sharing the gospel. Many of them, right now, the United States is the worldwide hotspot of the pandemic. So imagine being overseas and your parents, grandparents, maybe some of your college-age children here in the United States, and you're reading all the headlines about infections and deaths in the United States while you're over there. So just pray that they be comforted, sustained, that they continue to trust in the Lord and his calling on their life and his care for them and their family. So those are some specific things that I know would bless our missionaries to know, as they already do, that they're being prayed for and supported in that way.
That's good. Let me voice prayer for us now. We'll wrap our time up.
Thank you.
Father, I thank you for Dr. Chitwood and the way you have uniquely prepared and called him for this work. Thank you for the way he loves you, his heart for the nations, his love for Southern Baptist. I pray that you'd anoint him, that you would bless Michelle and his family, and that you would use him in this role, Father. Give him wisdom, give him courage. And Father, I do pray that you'd use Oklahoma Baptist to do our part, that we'd be faithful stewards of the heritage you've given to us, resources. I pray that we'd send our money to get the gospel to the nations, but even more than that, that we'd send our sons and daughters, our grandchildren, to the nations, that we'd be really willing to raise them up and give them up for the Great Commission cause. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for giving us the joy of participating in what you're doing around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Hey, have listen, a good afternoon. Always a joy to be with you, especially today, Hans. God bless you.
Thank you.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. To subscribe, find us on Spotify, the iTunes Store, or your preferred podcast platform. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com today. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.